Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
John 4, and it says, Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews." Jesus has just met a woman at a well. And the thing is, they're having this conversation, and Jews and Samaritans, they didn't really get down like that. They didn't really interact with each other. They didn't like each other much. So the lady is caught off guard, but Jesus is saying, "Hey, you Samaritans, you have a way to worship him, and you kind of got it. But us Jews, it comes from us, and though we know a little bit more, we kind of got it." But verse 23 says, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." We're going to unpack that in a little bit, but let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to worship your name. We're grateful for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five three people and tell them, "Worship no matter what." No matter what. Man, here we are, Destiny Harvest Church. I love the front row here. They just going to shout me down. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time today. We're going to have a good time. You guys ready to have a good time? Man, Pastor Steve will be back next week to continue our series, If I Had $1 Million, just answering the question, would it make a lasting impact? Has that series been good for anybody so far? It's been good. Now, it's been amazing. But I'm here today, and today we're going to talk about worship. And half of you are probably looking at me like, duh, we're talking about worship. Aren't you the worship director? Aren't you the worship leader? Isn't that what you do? Well, I have you know, in all the times that I've preached at Destiny Harvest, this is actually the first time that I've preached about worship. Huh? You think you know me, but you do not. But I'm going to show you a little bit about myself. But worship is one of those topics that people, they think they know. Like, I know what worship is. I know what that is. That's that thing that you do before you preach, right? You sing at least three songs if you're spiritual before the preaching, and then there's preaching, right? That's worship. For some of you, that's that moment that I really like that moment. I love that when they sing my song, like, that's my song. That's my Holy Spirit. And you just kind of go in there. For some of you guys, you're like, oh yeah, worship. That's that part that I skip because you guys are way too loud. And you don't even sing anything that I like. What happened to all the hymns? We got you. We're learning them. We're going to get it. Keep coming back. Keep believing in us. For some of you, worship is that time that you don't quite know a whole lot about because you don't get it. Anyways. I love you. You're here now. That's all that matters. Worship. For some people, if you're honest with yourself, you can say that worship is that thing that I honestly don't know too much of anything about. And that's okay, because what you'll find is that you're actually not alone in that category. There's so many people who think they know. I know what that is. That's that thing that we do. I think I know that. But if I could tell you in the words of early 2000s MTV, you think you know. but you have no idea. Come on, MTV Diary. Got some old heathens in here. But you think you know, but you have no idea. And here's what I found out about things that people think that they know, but they might not be all the way on it. They have a tendency when something comes up that they don't all the way understand to do one of two things. They either mock it, like, oh yeah, that's when you sing them songs. I heard the way you sang those songs. Or they just reject it altogether. When we don't understand something all the way, we tend to either kind of mock it or reject it altogether, when whole time it could be something that can transform our lives. Yeah. Any married guys, where you at? Married guys, where you at? Come on, make some noise. Woo, woo, woo. Not many of y'all in here. That's all right. We're going to make some hookups after this. Talk to somebody out in the hallway. But man, marriage. My wife and I will actually be celebrating 2 years in August. I give it up for my beautiful wife, Diane Coakley. But we'll be celebrating 2 years in August. And sometimes when married guys, maybe you can relate, when you go out with your single friends, one, it just doesn't happen often because we're headed in two different directions in life. But when I'm hanging out with single friends, sometimes we'll be hanging out, we'll be playing video games or playing music or whatever it is. And they'll see me sometimes either go down and send that text or make that call like, hey, I'll be headed home at this time or doing that thing. And what do they like to do? They like to mock. When that happens, right? Like, oh, he's whipped. Look at him. Look at him. Oh, the street light's about to come on. You gotta go. And like, what they don't understand, what they don't get is, yes, I gotta go. Because I would rather go home to the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life and cook and clean for the most beautiful woman that I've ever seen in my life than to hang around your ugly mug. So, yeah. I gotta go. But when they do, when they don't understand it, they just have a tendency to mock it, to reject something that they might not quite get yet. That actually happened that the first time the Holy Spirit was poured out upon mankind. In Acts 2, it says this, that they stood there amazed and perplexed. They watched the whole experience happening. And they were amazed, yet they were still confused. They said, what can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. They're just drunk. They looked at him and said, they've had a little too much wine. But that wasn't it at all. If they really understood, they would have been asking, how can I get some of what you got? And so I found that that's really kind of what happens with worship in the church. Maybe you come in and you see somebody singing just with all their passion, let my passion burn like fire, let my heart be unafraid, and you're just wondering, what are you afraid of? What is burning, and why do you want it to burn? Does it really take all of that? Does it really take a drum set and a bass and a guitar and keyboards and singers? Does it really take all of that? So before we get into my main three points down there, you might be looking at your sermon notes and your worship guide, and you see those eight blanks, and you're probably wondering, Pastor Trent, how long are we going to be here? I promise you, it will not be longer than 2 hours. I promise you. So here we go. The first reason why, I just want to break something down for you. I'm not going to clean that up. I just want to break it down for you. Why do we worship the way that we do? Why do we worship like this? And the first reason is because God asks for it. Because God asks for it. One of the things that you get to do when you're God is you get to call the shots. You get to say, do it this way, do it this way, do that thing, then do that thing, and do it for this long. You get to do that because you're God. And here's the thing, when we make up our mind that we don't want to do it his way, that we don't want to do this thing or that thing, I could do that thing, but I'm not going to do that thing, here's what happens. He's not God in your life. He's just your convenient religion. But what we do is we acknowledge him as God. We say, hey, how do you want it? And I'll do it that way. Maybe it's, if he says one day, now I promise you, he won't say it. I can't promise you, but I can promise you, he won't say it. But if he says to hold your nose, rub your stomach, hop up on one foot and jump like that, and that's worship. Look, we holding our noses. We rubbing our stomachs. We jumping up and down because God said it. Anybody grateful he didn't say it like that? Psalms 150, 1 through 6 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. That is not a person who does not tell the truth. You can't. Anyways, praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. He said, let them bad boys ring out. Praise him with the resounding of the cymbals. We got this drum shield over here trying to please you and God, and we're going to get it right one day. But he says, let them resound. It's loud. With the resounding of the cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, let everything that has breath praise him. Even the word hallelujah. I know we're used to hearing it one way. We're used to hearing hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's a little classic version of it. But that word in itself is based on the root word halal. Halal. And halal means to shine, hence to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorously foolish, to rave, or to celebrate. It was never meant to be a little hush, thank you, Jesus. But we were meant to sing out loud and to praise God with lifting our voices and saying, hallelujah, thank you for all that you've done. The second reason why we worship God the way that we do is because praise is my purpose. It's my purpose. It's literally what I was made for. In Revelation, it tells us that we were made to bring God pleasure, that we were made to sing praises to him. That's what we were created for. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him. Again, that you may declare the praises of him, that you may shout out loud, that you may tell somebody the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We were made to declare how great our God is and how great our God has been to us. Come on, you can shout right there. That's a good place to praise God. What has he done for you? What has he done for you? Now, I grew up in a very traditional church. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I grew up in a very traditional church. You know, stand up here, sit down there, sing a song there, nod off there. Yeah, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet. Were you glad? It didn't sound very glad. And I didn't really get a really passion for God until I got around some passionate people that were about my age. And I would hear them talking about, man, God has done this for me. Man, God has been so good. He opened this door that I never thought would open. Man, God spoke to me. And I would hear these things, and honestly, I got jealous. I got jealous like, man, I want a relationship like you have. All I know is this quiet God who we meet with on Sundays, but you're talking about this God that speaks? That God that speaks to us and you can hear him? Who is that? Give me some of that. But how did I get that passion? Because there were people around me who were talking about it. There were people around me who were talking about how good he was. And it just woke something up on the inside of me. I'm telling you, when you declare the praises of God, the world can't help but take notice. They can't help but to wake up and say, who is that that you're talking about? Third reason is this. Here's why we worship the way we do. For who he is. simply for who he is. Somebody was about to shout right there. They know who he is. I was blessed in 2011 to be able to be on a show on NBC called The Sing Off. Anybody familiar with The Sing Off? Oh, somebody. I was going to say, I didn't think you were going to be. That's cool. The Sing Off. Anybody familiar with Pentatonix? You were not supposed to shout that loud. They beat us. Sore spot. But we were on the show, and we had a host of celebrity judges and everything, right? And the other two, God bless them, can't really remember their names. But one of the judges there was a guy from the group Boyz II Men. Any of Boyz II Men? Come on. Although we go to the... We're praying for you, for you, for you. There's deliverance for you, for you, for you. Ha! Now we know who to pray for. This altar better be full after this service. But man, it was Sean Stockman from Boyz II Men, and just that first couple of weeks that we were there, it's like, oh man, it's Sean Stockman. Look, oh, it's Sean. It's Sean. I like Sean. I love Sean. I love Boyz II Men. Got Grammys and all that stuff. But it kind of wore off after the first 2 weeks with me. Other weeks, it was Sean tells a joke. Everybody, ha, 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 ha. That's so funny, Sean. Sean says something about it's hot in here. It's about 5 people at the thermostat. Okay, he wants it this cold. He wants it this hot. And people just running to Sean's request. Why? Just because he's Sean Stockman. That's why when God says something while we're running, that's why we move, just because of who God is. Just because of who he is. Psalms 145:3 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Just because of who he is. Psalm 96:4 says, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all God. Psalm 48:1 says, how great is the Lord? Is anybody noticing a trend here? How great is the Lord? How deserving of praise. And the city of our God, which sits on his holy mountain. Our God is great. And we give him worship just because of who he is. The next reason, why do we worship God the way that we do? For what he's done. For what he has done. If this is your first time, or one of your first times coming here today, you probably came in during worship and it was loud, but you probably saw somebody next to you. You ever seen that person who comes in, and if this is you, I love you. That comes in and just the first song, you know, the first song is usually fast and upbeat, and we're singing, I will call upon the Lord, and it's that first song that's I love you, God. We see that and we can look at it and we like, huh, no, they've been through. But that's just the thing. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what God has rescued them from. You don't know the doors that he's opened. You don't know the chains that he's broken off of their lives. Even when you look up here today, you see this. You see me here, but you don't see all of the thoughts of inadequacy that I've gone through. You don't see all of the thoughts of I'm not good enough. I'm the most unqualified to be here. But God, you called me and you equipped me and you said, I choose you. You don't know the past of immorality. You don't know all of that. But when I think about how good he's been to me, I thought somebody would shout right there when they thought about how good God was. All the days of our lives when we see goodness and mercy following us. If you would think back for a minute and just remember what he has done, I can't help but to shout, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 19:37 says the whole crowd of disciples, they burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. They had seen God do some things. They had seen God heal some bodies. They had seen God raise some dead people in some dead situations from the ground. They had seen God heal some broken marriages. Come on. Some Pharisees from the crowd, some doubters, some haters, some naysayers, said, "Teacher, get your people. Whose man's is this?" Said, "Teacher, get your disciples under control." Well, listen to what Jesus said to him. But he said, if they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. And now I understand the old folks saying that says, I ain't gonna let no rock cry out for me. I don't know about you, but I can't just stand still when I think about his goodness. I've got to shout glory. I've got to shout thank you. I've got to shout, God, you are amazing. How great you are. Jesus. I ain't, is what the old folks say. Forget your grammar. I ain't gonna let no rock cry out for me. Because he did it for me, because he set me free. And I am going to say thank you. I'm going to worship you with everything that I have. Here's the reason, last reason why. Now, all of the reasons before this were reasons for God. They were kind of pointed to God, but this one is for you. We worship God the way that we do because worship changes everything. It literally changes I remember, it's actually just a couple of months ago, I got a call from my mom saying that my dad had gone in for one of the routine checkups and that they found a mass. And, you know, all the thoughts that start going through your mind is like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. And we actually went through the same thing with my mom, and it turned out to be non-cancerous about a couple of years back. But it was a little different this time because my father's brother had actually passed away from cancer. And so it just seemed a little more close to home. And I'm just thinking, like, God, I just don't know. And you start thinking about what would life look like without my father? What would, you know, you start, your mind just goes to that place. So he goes in for the checkup. And it goes in for the biopsy, where they're going to take out a piece and see what's really going on. And I was praying that morning when my mom told me he's in surgery. And just the worship music that was blasting from my office that morning. Now, here's the thing. Because I work at a church, worship music blasting from my office doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong. so we just take a time throughout the day just to seek God and then to get back to work. But as the music was blasting, I'm just worshiping God. And it was crazy what happened in that. And what happens when we come out of a kind of a difficult or a hard situation. At the beginning of the thing, it just seems like, man, I've got this huge problem and this little God. If we're honest. But there's just something about the perspective that switches, that shifts. When we take time just to say, God, you are able. God, you are worthy. God, you have it all in your hands. When we give him the worship that is due, a shift happens. And all of a sudden, it becomes little problem. But I've got a big God. I've got a big God who can handle it all. I've got a big God who can control, who is in control. And he knows the outcome. He knows the end from the beginning of the thing. There's a glorious exchange that happens. Worship changes everything. And by the way, we were blessed enough to get the call. I think it was the week after. When they were supposed to go into the doctor called my parents and say, hey, you don't even have to come. It's cancer free. Our God is able. Psalm 18:3 says, I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. I called on him, and he saved me from the doubt. I called on him, and he saved me from the fear that was in my heart. The word of God says that in God's perfect love, there is no fear in his love, which means that, hey, this is where I am right now in this fear, and I just got to make some time. I got to cut out some time just to stand right here in your presence, just to reverence you, knowing that you can do absolutely anything. You can do absolutely anything. So we worship him because worship changes everything. The heading of this next part, or this next Bible verse in your Bible, whether you're reading King James or something else, it should be Rules for Worship is what the title says for this next part. And listen to it. It says in Ezekiel 46:9, "But when the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, they must leave by the south gateway." So imagine you just came in this door in the auditorium. If you came in this door to worship God, you have to leave through that one. That's not true. Leave through the door they told you to leave through. And those who enter through the south gateway must leave by the north gateway. They must never leave by the same gateway that they came in, but must always use the opposite gateway. Here was the representation in the Old Testament. That's the reality for the New Testament. When you come to worship God, you cannot leave the same way that you came. You have to leave different. You have to leave a little lighter. You have to leave knowing that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So that's why we worship God the way that we do. That was not 2 hours. Are you happy? Awesome. Here we go. That's why we worship God the way that we do. And so I just want to give you three short points of just my understanding of worship so far. And the first thing is this: worship is based on a choice, not a feeling. Worship is based on choice, not feeling. I know, we set up these lights, we set up the lights go down, the smoke comes out, and it's really bright, it's really loud. Why? Because we know that when you come in, you've probably gone through some things, you probably jacked up a child or two, you've probably said some things that you're not quite happy about, just to get here on time. And we know that you may not feel like worshiping. So we set up this entire atmosphere. We have people outside who give you coffee and all that wonderful stuff, just so that, to bring you down a little bit. Hey, relax, get back, relax, lift a hand, sing a song, so you could feel like worshiping God. But honestly, it's not about how you feel. It's not so much about how you feel, because if we were to be honest, a lot of times we don't feel like worshiping God because we feel like we're too far from him. We feel like, man, you don't know what my Saturday night was like. You don't know what my Monday was like after last Sunday when I learned this, but I did this. And honestly, Pastor Trent, if I were to tell you, I would feel like a hypocrite if I worshiped God, because I don't feel like he wants anything to do with me. Well, I want to tell you that there is nothing that can separate you from his love. And God still has your picture on his refrigerator. You know, the little cheesy picture they give your kids. Your picture is still on God's fridge. He still loves you. He still cares about you. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there's an old Christian hymn called "It Is Well." You're probably familiar with it. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. And you may know that song or you may not know that song, but what you may not know is that the writer of that song, he had a son, and at the age of 2, the son passed away from pneumonia. Shortly thereafter, he lost his entire family business in the Great Chicago Fire. And so life goes on a little while, and he sends his wife and his four daughters on a trip across the seas. They're about to move, and he sends the wife and four daughters before he goes. And as they're on the sea, the ship sets out its sail, and a terrible storm rose up. The entire ship sank, killing his four daughters. His wife actually survived and wrote a letter home to him saying, hey, we've lost our kids. Son, fire, four children are gone. And as the story goes, he gets into a boat to make the same journey. And as he's in that boat, they get to the place where the children, where the storm happened, where the ship went down. And he looks out over that sea, and he begins writing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast caused me to say, that it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials may come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. He looked out, and though everything around him had crumbled, he said to God, it's well. It's okay. I know you're in control. I know I'm still in your mind. Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Though it's not going the way that I thought it would go, though the outcome didn't turn out the way that I thought it would, though my hopes are crushed right now, I'll give you praise. I will worship you. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Let's give a sacrifice of praise. It cost me something. Second thing that I found about worship that I would want you to know today is you should worship, or I should worship, with everything that I have. Worship with everything that I have. We as people, we have these expectations of professional athletes to leave it all out on the field. We had high expectations for the Boston Celtics to leave it all out on the court. It's too late. They're done, Sauce. We have expectations for them to leave it out on the court. They left the wrong thing on the court. They left their pride, and they need to go pick that back up. But to leave it all out on the field with professional sports. And here's the thing. With worship, God is expecting us to leave it all out on the field, to worship with everything that we have. Shh. Quick. If you look around you right now, there are groups of people worshiping with everything that they have. You're probably looking around like, what is he talking about? There's nobody crying. There's nobody shouting right now. What is he talking about? If you look in that corner, it's the production team. Worshiping with everything that they have. Somebody told you where to sit
or they showed you where to sit. Those are our service hosts. They're worshiping with everything that they have. There were some people out there in that hallway just showing you to the auditorium, showing you where the coffee is, and they're worshiping with everything that they have in the parking lot. Come on, can we give it up for our dream team? Worshiping with everything that they have, leaving it all out on the field. That's how God called us to worship him. That's how we do it. 2 Samuel 24:24 says this, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Here's the thing. We don't worship at the level of our comfort. We worship at the level of his sacrifice. And what did God give? Everything. He gave his everything when he gave his son. You've probably heard the verse before. "For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son that we may not perish but will have everlasting life." He gave it all. Mark 12:30 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Worship with everything. Leave it all out on the field for God. Here's the last thing, and they can come out and play now. Here's the thing I've always wanted to say that as well. They can come out and play now. It makes me feel like I'm in control. But here's the last thing. Worship expecting God to respond. James 4:8 says, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you." In other words, take one step closer to God, and he will come close to you. And as I was thinking about this, I didn't know if I've had time to kind of give this illustration, but I thought about how, you know, visits in jail, when you come close, you can't really come close because there's that glass in between you. You've seen the shows. They put the hand up on the thing. "I love you. I'll see you." And the thing is, that's a lot of people's understanding of God. That we can come close, but he can't touch us. Even, "God, I can hear you, but I can't really feel you." But his word is saying, "Come close to me, and I'll come close to you." And we know that when we come close to God, we come close to his peace. We come close to his love. We come close to his joy. We come close to our hope. We come close to wholeness where we might be broken. And as you look down at that list of 8 things that you've written down today, you're probably thinking like, "Ah, Pastor Trent, that's good, but that's a lot." And I'm here to agree with you. That's a lot. Those 8 things, that's a whole lot. Follow us on YouTube, Destiny Harvest Church, so you can go back and watch it a little later on. But here's the thing. That's a lot of steps. I'm not asking you to take 8 steps today. I'm not asking you to fully understand 8 precepts today. All I'm asking you to do is take one step. Take one step closer to him and experience him coming closer to you. Maybe you're new today and this is your first time hearing this, or maybe you have not made a decision yet to make Christ the Lord of your life. That's okay. Your first step is not a raised hand during worship. Your first step is giving your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've already made that decision. You said, "Hey, Jesus is in control," but you find yourself still kind of sitting on the sidelines, waiting to get in the game. Your first step is happening right after this experience in Growth Track Step 3. Get in the game. Somebody say amen. Amen. Get in the game. And I know what you're thinking, like, "Man, this is a lot." Just take one step, one small step, and watch God do the rest. Because here's the thing. We're talking about worship. Everybody in this room, whether you're a Christian or not, whether it's your first time or not, you are a worshiper. Here's the thing. You're worshiping something. Whatever we give our best to, that's what you are worshiping. What is it, work? What is it, children? Your kids. What is it? Is it dreams? Is it aspirations? What is it? Here's what I found. That when we worship, we become obsessed with a thing. And when we become obsessed with a thing, we begin to imitate that thing. And when we imitate that thing, we become like that thing. So instead of imitating a fallen world, why don't we learn to imitate a victorious God?
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.